This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, wear your iPhone.
Hello.
Hello, good morning, Merlin.
Good morning. How are you, Alexandra?
Good. Happy New
Excellent.
Year.
Yes, it's a terrific new year. How big is your button? Hello. We have fun, don't we?
Did you announce that you're quitting Twitter? I'm thinking about announcing.
Oh, yeah. I've been, I keep meaning to start that Medium account so I can let people know how disappointed I am. The thing is, you can quit Twitter, but then you got to keep using Twitter to talk about how you quit Twitter.
Exactly. Mm.
I thought about that last night, actually. I had recorded with Syracuse, and I was feeling very, very stressed out around around Hannity time last night. And I was just thinking, like, I have such a clear recollection of the first time that I met Jack. And I remember I was just sitting there thinking, like, this is...
What a tool?
No. I mean, have I ever told you that story?
Really? No.
It's actually a very, very funny story, given the events of this week and month. But I used to work with Mule Design, but mostly I was pals with the Mule Design people, Montero and Erica and them. And they had this office in the cannery over on 3rd Street. And, you know, I would go there and work with them, but a lot of times I'd just hang out with them. And it was this building that had been like, most famously, it's the one that the astronauts walk through in The Right Stuff when they're in their suits.
Oh.
But, you know, it's this famous old building, and there were some startups there, and a lot of people like making Timbuktu bags and stuff. But, yeah, I'd just go and hang out, and like right across the hall was the podcast startup Odeo, and I would go over and visit with them. And I would just go hang out with that group, and they were very energetic and fun and nice, and I knew some of them from the blogger days. And I'm trying to remember what his name was. He had a funny internet name. But basically one day I went over there and was hanging out with, you know, the dudes. Mm-hmm. And this guy who looked like an alien walked up and said, he smiled and he goes, "I'm Jack." And I went, "What?" He goes, "I did humane text." And I was like, "Holy fucking shit, dude, you did humane text?" And he's like, "Yeah, how's it going?" And he's just this really nice, super quiet guy. Humane Text was a service for the Mac, for OS X, that I had written about on 43 folders. It was a service for turning text and Markdown into HTML and HTML into Markdown. And
oh,
I used it like all day long. You could also do it. You could hack on it to be Textile instead, I think. But long story short, I knew this guy, and I forget what his funny internet name at the time was, but I knew that guy from then. And I was like, this is so exciting. It's nice to like finally meet you. And he had this little desk, this little carrel. Like, you know, they were just everybody. It was like a library carrel, the desk that they had there, these little rooms. And I don't know. I mean, I think about that. And then I think about everything that's happened since. And I'm glad Twitter got made, but whenever people yell at or about Jack, I remember this like skinny kid in his 20s that I really admired for making this Mac service. And I don't know, it makes me, I mean, I don't think he's given a thought about me in a very long time, but obviously I have to think about him a lot. But it's weird because I really like the guy, and he seemed really nice and weird and geeky, nerdy. And like now I just think about like, well, he's come back from his 10-day silent meditation, and this is where we are. We're at a place, and my wife was, like, kind of panicky last night. She was, after what happened with the president's tweets, and she's like, you know, do you think we're going to be okay? And I was like, I kind of actually do think we're going to be okay on this state. I think the damage that is being done to us internationally, which is finally starting to come out, is horrifying. But I said, you know, I said the funny part is when I was at work waiting to talk to Syracuse, I'm sitting there so fucking mad at Twitter, about Twitter, for Twitter. I was just fucking mad. And the way that I found myself expressing that was by reloading Twitter hundreds of times. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is really frustrating. So I'm not here to be a hero like some of my friends are. But like, fucking A, man. How was your night?
I mean, I actually didn't realize what was happening for a while because, you know, life hack. I now just use a Twitter list called People and Things I Like. And that's all I really look at anymore. Because, well, I think you have this too. There's like people you have to follow, like for work and political reason. Obviously, anybody listening to this podcast, you're definitely not one of those people. but
I couldn't do that to you.
Yeah, no, definitely not. and then they're like, why
your,
would your you
grievances
me?
And your grievances and hostilities from one stranger to another really buoy me. Thank you. I'm so glad you enjoy my work enough to reach out and tell me what you don't like about it. It's really super sweet. You're smart to do that. You did that. You were heavy on the political list, you said, and then you dialed back. So that's where you are now.
Yeah, I mean, it comes and goes in phases, I think. Like, I don't know.
But certainly this must have leaked onto your list.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. It, like, just slowly got through. And then kind of like it seems like you have the refresh thing where I do that thing where I go over to the moments. And I know I don't know why I do it.
I don't know why I do it. I look at it all day.
Yeah. And it's and now there's this thing where I see a man's name and I'm like, OK, is this sports or someone who has sexually assaulted a person? Because it's always one of the two. And I'm just like, OK, hockey player or rapist? Let's see.
Title. So it wasn't stressing you out last night?
Yeah, it was, but it's one of those things where, you know, I was talking to Maddie, and they don't really practice, like, all of the Alcohol Anonymous stuff, but it's, I can't do anything to control this. I can't, you know, me having a panic attack is not going to change international relations, and I just, mm-hmm. you know, New Year's resolutions are stupid, even though I made a bunch, but... I just...
Yeah. You did? I heard you did it wrong.
I did indeed. I did too many things.
Thank you for your message.
Cut back.
So you got rational about it.
I mean...
A little bit?
I think I have to at this point. I'm trying to, you know, there are things that I know a lot of about, and there are things that I think I can do, you know, actually material, effective things, like things I know about, like net neutrality and security and some human rights stuff on a very local level. And I don't want to be like, I'm this good person. But that's the only way I'm able to sleep at night, because I can't, you know, refreshing Twitter just makes me sad and there's nothing I could do. And I'd rather hang out with people in my neighborhood and fix those things. I don't know. It's very hippie sounding.
Not really. I was thinking this morning about the phenomenon that I don't follow the president's Twitter, but I follow the press secretary Twitter. And I think about this phenomenon I've heard lots of people talk about, which is you wake up in the morning and you have this sense of like, oh, what'll it be today? Because, you know, we know that there's a pattern to this. And I was just thinking about, like, in some ways I feel fortunate, because by the time I wake up at 6:37, he's already gotten most of it out of his system. But I was thinking about what it must be like to wake up on the East Coast and anticipating, like going, like just waiting for the 2 to 5 tweets after he's had a chance to watch Fox and Friends. And it, I can't imagine having to wake up with that uncertainty every morning. I wake up, I look at my phone, and I get to be sad in real time. But like, I don't know. I don't know. It's very stressful. I keep thinking it'll at some point will become less stressful. And as recently as a couple days ago, like a lot of people on political Twitter, I found myself going like, wow, you know, one does not like to say unkind things about the president, but he's clearly not well, really, really, really not well. And it's the just the repetition. And like, I wouldn't want to diagnose from a distance, but like, just pick one of six. Like, something's fucking wrong right now. And you eventually get to the point where you're like, wow, I wonder if this is going to be the new normal, which is he just says a bunch of stupid shit for his, you know, 32%, and everybody around him ignores him. But like, you know, the guy in North Korea is not going to ignore him. Mm-hmm. I can't, even with all of my wonderful privilege I've accrued for no good reason, I can't just sit there and be sanguine in my mind about going like, well, you know, this will all turn out okay. And I'm not sure what to do about it, but like, it's making me a little crazy again.
That was the thing about, well, you turned me on to the Ezra Klein Show, and Favreau was on there the other day talking.
He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it kind of gave me some sort of, like, peace of mind where he was saying that, you know, I thought it was going to be a lot worse, and it doesn't seem too bad, but also...
So a lot of people are saying, like, structurally, it's not as bad as it could have been by a long shot.
But then he said something that terrified me, which was, you know, this could be the best year of the Trump presidency, which it kind of like I don't want to sound like I'm being just all blasé about and like, oh, yeah, this doesn't affect me. Like that hearing that like just shakes you to your core. But I don't know. I try to a lot like 30 minutes a day to be very sad and upset. And that's all I can do. I wonder if it would be different if I had kids or if I was responsible for more like mammals in my life. But
Sometimes I have to really remind myself that it's not that emotions are a choice, but I do have to catch myself sometimes and go, you know, you could decide to hold your head a little higher right now. You could decide to act as if the world will survive every day, even if it won't. Right, you could be you could be the guy in Pacific Rim, you know. Like, no, we're not going to have an apocalypse today. I need to keep conducting my life. In some ways, I need to conduct most aspects of my life as if we will be around tomorrow. Embracing for the end is not helping me, and I really have to remind myself of that. It's difficult, but I do, and it's not even because of my kid. Sure, it's partly because of my kid. I'm not an idiot, but it's also just like, I'm just tired of feeling anxious. I'm tired of feeling wound up, and like, I can do that fine on my own. I don't need this in addition, just on a very personal, selfish basis. I'm just so fucking sick of it. And for the first time in my life, I can really like legitimately say, I hate this man. And I hate that feeling. I hate the feeling of hate, but I you have to cut all this out. This is bad radio. Where's our friend? He's not here today. Is it just you and me?
Yeah, I should address, I guess, that Max, you know, Dad's not home. Dad's gone for the day. He's on the Partners Retreat with all of the Cards Against Humanity guys, and this is when they
eating cured meats and farting.
Basically, I went into the writer's room this morning, which is the big conference room in our office where they basically lock themselves into this writing and like businessy state of mind for 12 hours a day. And it does not smell great. There is an extra air purifier from last year. It's like farts and chips and beef jerky. I love my bosses.
The air filter's just weeping, just sobbing. Oh. See, my problem is I have really penetrating farts. Mm-hmm. When I do fart, it takes a person out. I mean, I'm talking like a small dog's fart. I'm talking like a piercing, high, narrow bore, like fucking ruin the room for like a considerable amount of time. It's kind of a gift. It's like a wizard cursed me.
I like to think of them sort of like butt ghosts. Like you're it's the
yeah. I'm back. I have some unresolved issues.
Well, that's the thing. The
I know
is
who
the
killed
corpse.
Me. I am the bratwurst. I know who killed me. Trader Joe's has these really good meatballs. They call them party meatballs. And I really, really, really love them. I can highly recommend the Trader Joe's party meatballs.
The party balls. Beef.
Party boys. You got just like the novels. Party boys are these delicious meatballs. They're like, you got beef, pork, water. They're pretty well made. It's a Trader Joe's product. They're really good. And they make me do long range sniper farts. Like I spooky action at a distance. Like I could point it across the room and like a cat toy laser, I could just take a person out. So I'm glad I'm not there. Some people's farts just have kind of a more round, smoky, kind of oak barrel aged kind of feel.
Mm-hmm,
not me.
Mm-hmm.
Mine are sharp. Mine's like some kind of, it's like an onion balm.
So do you have like some sort of consistency or do you have sort of different genres of fart?
Oh yeah, it's a good question. I feel like it is somewhat dependent on what I have eaten. I had a friend named Bob who could, when he belched, you could smell exactly what he'd eaten. Like down to like you had an idea of portion size. Like it was really astonishing. I have that a little bit. There's some foods that I really enjoy a lot that I have to be careful of. And so, yeah. And also, we're doing a thing right now where we're trying. My lady and I have decided that wheat doesn't make us feel good, so we're trying hard not to have wheat. It's so hard not to have wheat.
Is this a paleo thing or
no?
Just
it's just
wheat?
A don't eat. It's just a don't eat wheat thing. It doesn't have a name.
you should name it.
I will name him Rascal. Rascal is the name of my diet. Hey, buddy. And Rascal says wheat does not make you feel good. And so the problem is, you make a stew in the Instapot. You know, we make a pretty good stew in the Instapot. You want to have the premium egg noodles with that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do you like an egg noodle?
I don't even know what that is. I mean, noodles. It's a noodle made with eggs, I'm going to assume.
Are you fronting?
Sort of. No, I'm sure it's in some sort of Asian dish.
Oh, my God.
Is that ping pong?
Why does everyone I know a pod person?
I don't know.
John Syracuse doesn't know who Jonathan Groff is.
I mean, I wouldn't expect him to. The last musical he saw was Les Mis, right?
I identified it. Once I told him, I said, he's real obscure. He's like, oh, is this another one of those Merlin things? I'm like, oh, yeah. the guy from Frozen and Hamilton and a Netflix show and Glee. That's real. Oh, boy, Merlin's really pulling him out of nowhere. Where does he come up with these crazy characters? Egg noodles are those delicious yellowish noodles that are usually kind of wide. And you'll sometimes have it with like a hearty meal. You know, you'll see them. Egg noodles. You see them in a package. Egg noodles.
Oh,
you should try them. I think you'd like them. Don't overthink it. Go look up egg noodles.
I've had this. Yeah, he says yes.
They're really good.
Yeah, eat the thing that makes you feel bad.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem with Rascal. Mm-hmm. I used to when Roderick would come to the house, one of our dinners that we would make is we'd always have a steak, mm-hmm. and I used to make a steak with rice or potatoes. John Roderick, if you give him something with potatoes, he will send it back with extreme prejudice. He does not eat potatoes. He turned me on to egg noodles with steak, and I've never looked back. It's a very, very good combination. You should try egg noodles.
I'm going to.
Get extra wide egg noodles. Try it. And you put some butter and salt on there. It's very, very good.
This would be – oh, this looks like a thing that would be on Top Chef. And the challenge is make a kid's menu. Make spaghetti and meatballs. And they would do an egg noodle with steak.
You remind me of something funny from this morning. We had a sleepover last night. One of my daughter's awesome friends stayed over. Great kid. And this morning they're making chocolate chip pancakes. And I came up to my wife. I was like, I gotta go record this show. I was like, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but can we have macaroni and cheese? Will you please make the special macaroni and cheese? She's like, you know, Rascal, we're not supposed to be having that. I was like, I know, I'm a bad boy, and it's January 3rd, but I really, really want them. I want you to bake it. I want you to make the breadcrumbs, and I want you to do it all, because I can't stop thinking about the macaroni and cheese now. What if I showed up at the James's family's house? Would that be weird?
Yes. Yes, it would.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What if I wore some kind of, let's say, a disguise? Is there a tasteful disguise that I could wear? No, hang on. Hang on. Mm. This does not have to be offensive. Mm. Is there something I could wear? And I could say I'm like Marvin T. Green. Like I show up and I sell myself as a long-lost family member.
I mean, if you could, you know what? Yes, because you're from Ohio, correct? And you could, you just dress up as a Midwestern man.
Or just dress apologetically.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Put on a hashtag woke t-shirt and we'll be fine.
Woke. Stay woke. Mm-hmm. Stay woke. Oh, Rascal. So shit, dog. What are we gonna do?
Dugga dugga dig dig. We need to discuss the challenge in a bit as this clip is literally stabbing into my stomach. Ow. Oh God. Wait. I'm muffin topping real. Ow. Ow.
Oh come on.
Ow. 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 Oh yeah. No, I did it. Listen. I didn't realize this until last night. But the clip.
Oh, that you can turn it around.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very satisfying. Ooh, right?
That's decisive.
Oh. Last week, our friend James T. Green, not James Green, James T. Green, chose
Is that one of the Vlogger brothers?
No, that is John Green. However, there's
That's Hank and Jimmy Jack.
Yep. There's another James Green who is a design. I believe he's a designer in Chicago, and that was originally James's like main job. And he was just a big old asshole, and so that's why he got real firm on the James T. Green. But it's kind of regal.
I like the sound of it. T is an excellent. J is the best middle initial, but T is an excellent middle initial. I have D and I don't like it. I would like a better hard consonant as a middle initial.
Yeah, but you can. But you have a the third afterwards.
If I say my full name, it sounds like a joke. If I say I'm Merlin D. Emanuel, hey, Merlin DeMann. More like whole paycheck, am I right?
No.
Yes. Oh. Why don't they make the whole plane out of Merlin? He had a challenge for us.
Oh, God, he did.
Was fun, wasn't it? Wasn't it nice having him on the program?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fucking everyone's moving to New York, and it just makes me very sad.
That sounds costly.
Oh, well, it is, but that's also where most radio jobs live, and that's where people have to go.
How could you ever do audio remotely? What?
Mm-hmm. I know. They go work in that big glass office that's named after the fancy drink that Emily Gilmore drinks. Yeah.
Go. I'll get this. Give me a second.
Really?
Cosmopolitan.
Are you doing a Syracuse now? What's happening? Is the pod person?
Reindeers are better than people. I'll get this. I'll get it. Old fashioned. I made an old fashioned the other night. The old fashioned building based in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm PJ Vogt.
You don't know what the Gilmore's drink?
The Gilmore's drink. Martinis.
They drink a gimlet.
Oh, yeah. I see. I was making the joke and I didn't even get the joke.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A gimlet.
Anyway, Dick
is that where he's going?
He worked there for a while and now he's freelancing.
Oh, Jesus.
Look up James T. Green, and if you have radio,
they have 135,000 employees at Gimlet.
I know they're really
it's incredible
up there. Yeah,
they get a show out almost every 2 weeks. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah, I miss Mystery Show.
Maybe spend less time in India. Maybe spend a little more time putting out the podcast is a thing you could do.
Dig Dug. The challenge was to wear your phone and
yes.
specifically use the OtterBox Defender case, which comes with a utility belt clip holster majigger with a very satisfying, you know, it can be vertical or horizontal on your pants.
Or at a jaunty 45-degree angle. Ladies, you think this is thinning?
I should have done that.
My God.
I think it's a little
slimming. Has he lost some weight? He looks really good. That phone is very distracting.
Oh, God. Did you
It seems to be pointing at his dick. Call me maybe. Am I right? Pick up the phone, dummy. Peanut butter.
Did you actually complete this challenge?
Fucking peanut, fucking butter. I begged your assistance with this. I can't figure out how to get the mothercock smoking fuck monkey phone into the goddamn fucking case, and I don't want to break my goddamn costly rich boy phone. And so I need your help, and I will make up for this. I will wear my goddamn phone like the shame that it is, but you have to help me figure out how to get it in the case.
Wait.
I got a rich boy phone that I actually kind of like, and I kept going, and the directions are like, here's the directions, okay? They're IKEA-style directions. Here's the directions.
Mm-hmm.
Put the phone in the case.
Mm-hmm.
That's the directions. Now, do I have to break this into two parts?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, three parts. You remove...
Oh, no. I took off the dingus. I took off the Clippy Boy.
Yep. It's a three-layer protection. Oh, it feels like I'm... Well, it sounds kind of like a condom.
So there's an inner core.
Yep.
Not the naked robotic core, but there's an inner core I need to pop out of the more durable... Rim boy.
Yep. If I don't know if people.
What's the life hack? Give me an action and an adverb for how I need to do this. Gently lift. Lucidly tuck.
Are you describing bras right now?
Quietly pull. How the fuck do I open my goddamn OtterBox? I've already dented my little plastic boy for the screen or for the Apple. How
wait,
do I do
wait,
this,
hold
Alex?
On. Hold on. Dented the little Apple thing?
So, do you have a little window?
Yes, I do have a little window that's already... I just took it off for the first time. It has accumulated a lot of dust.
I put my thumbnail into it, and now it's got a dent. So I was trying to push it out. Yeah, I don't have an adverb or a verb. How do I do this? Okay, so tell me. Do I start at the – tell me what to do. How
okay,
do I do this?
Okay, okay. Start at the bottom and then just rip it apart. I mean, it's not going to – it's supposed
right.
to not break.
Fucking hate.
Let's expense these
do I,
$40
Do I have
pieces.
To do the latches on the side?
Yeah.
I just fucking – fucking
yeah. Okay, okay. So
what about the latches? Are there latches?
Let's do this together. You have removed the condom like wrapper, correct?
What?
The rubbery part.
No. No, I took it out of Clipboy and now I've got the rugged OtterBox thing and I got a feeling there's two parts and I don't know how to get them apart.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, send me a picture of what case you have. Now I'm actually this is no longer a bit. Now I'm very interested in what's happening.
I got some salt on my desk.
Oh. Is that to get rid of the smell of kombucha? Oh, March.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Okay, I'm clicking. I take a photo. Okay, I'm sending it in our super secret private channel.
Oh, you said you got three cases on Twitter?
No. Well, what? Oh, you don't even want to fucking know. You don't want to know. No, I got cucked. I got cucked twice by Amazon.
Oh, dear. Oh, yes.
Is that what you have?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, I ordered it. I mean, this is very fast and very fucking annoying. I ordered it from Amazon for next day delivery. It looks like Max got his in like 20 minutes.
Yep.
Okay, I ordered it for next day delivery, and they did the thing where they said, it'll be there. And then they go, it'll be there between December 30th and October 16th. It'll do the like, we're not sure what's happening with your thing. And I was like, okay, fine, fuck it. And I went and I ordered it again. Okay, I ordered it again. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just write it out. You know, I'll put up one on red, one on black. Well, I forgot to put one on 00 because guess what? I got cucked again. Your order will arrive between December 31st and who fucking cares? So I canceled them both. And then what did I do? I think I did I must have done a third one I don't think it was on Prime, but or I would have gotten it that way. But yeah, that's one reason I couldn't start until so late was it didn't arrive. You owe me an apology. What do I do, Alex? Tell me what to do.
All right,
be descriptive.
You've got to take off the rubber case or the rubber outside.
The rubber
of
baby
the case.
Buggy bumper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And it's all right. It's gonna make this noise, and you're just gonna rip it off like that.
Just peel it away without fear.
Yes.
I feel like I'm gonna break it.
No. Well, who gives a fuck?
This is costly. This is my third one.
I mean, you've got
I feel like it's like, you know, when they give you the bag of flour to carry around, I got a lot invested in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
shit.
You know how people have like the practice
shit.
Girlfriend? That's what this is.
I can't tell where the I can't tell.
Okay, this should help you. There's, you know, that little.
Give me an adverb. How should I be doing this?
The.
Roughly?
Roughly.
I don't know what I'm supposed to be pushing out of what.
You're nothing. You are peeling. Right now you
are
peeling.
It's like trying to find a clitoris on a bus.
No,
like, what
no.
am I doing?
Just peel it off. Just peel
what off? It's all one thing.
It's
like trying to take a sphere apart.
just
what am I doing?
Ripping.
Who am I? What's
seat.
What's happened to my life? I could die today. I could die from a big fucking red button while I'm trying to take apart my third phone case I bought this week. Bye, honey. I love you. Daddy's busy. My work. Fucking A. It's cracking. It's making a cracking noise.
No,
that seems
no,
good.
You're, nope. Okay. No. So you know the little flappy thing at the bottom that covers...
Cover boy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Can you just pull that down... Ooh.
Oh! And then, oh my God! It comes apart.
Yes, it does.
I did it. I got two parts. Okay, right. now I slip the phone into.
No. See, this is step one. Step two. There are little latches around the side, and this is probably going to hurt your thumbs.
Okay, cool.
Start from the bottom, and then just unclip each latch, and it'll make a scary noise, but it's okay.
Oh, this is crazy. Who lives like this? Oh, the latches. There's latch. I couldn't see the latches because they were in the superstructure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
God, who looks forward to this? This is terrible.
Oh,
okay. Got one. One clip.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two clips?
Yes. Oh, no. I'm sorry. There are two, like, prominent clips, but there are tiny ones all around the side. They will be in. If you look at the back of the case, they are indicated by arrows.
Oh my God! I now have my phone in four pieces. Okay, so now I lay my costly phone into the tray. I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. And there should be a lovely little. Well, first you've got to poke that memory foam type thing because it's very satisfying.
Yeah, I was feeling that.
Yeah.
I was like, I will get to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's got just the right sink and just the right bounce. Now I put my frame boy back on.
Mm-hmm. And you clip it in.
Oh, see, now everything's coming up, Milhouse.
Yep.
Look at this. Now I got the confidence. I want you done it one time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, this is really ugly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
got that, got that. Got this, got this. I think I've got my phone in the first case. Now, I slip that back into rubber bumper boy?
Yep, yep.
Oh, yeah, this is really unpleasant.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
I got it. You got it. Thanks, Alexander. You fixed me. Oh, this is great. Now I just need to get it into this handsome fourth carrying case. Oh, I can see why people love this.
Yep,
okay. Yep. It's like, oh, look at that. This is good and chunky. Holy shit. Oh, you've been doing this for a week?
It's so bad.
This is so bad. This is really unpleasant.
Oh.
I'm like a NASA contractor now or something. Like, what? Okay, I got the thing all the way around. I've condomized the entire outside, I think. Oh, there. Oh, it wraps all the way around. Look at that.
Yep, yep, yep.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, and then I do the sides. Okay. Okay. I was worried this wouldn't be good radio. Okay. Oh, almost got it. Oh, boy. Okay. And hang on. Ready? I want you to be here for this. Ready?
Yep. 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 Ah, there we go.
Okay. Putting on the belt. Oh, yes. I'm so fucking laid.
If it doesn't hurt, you're doing it wrong. It's got a. Okay. I know that you are. A
oh,
slow
I like
man,
I like it sideways.
Yep.
That's a good look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Oh, that feels good. It's right near my dingus.
Unholster. Yep. Mm. Well.
Great challenge, James. You have no idea how much this $38. How much this has stressed me out for the last 5 days. Ah. Oh, yeah, this is really unpleasant. Now, what's it like to use?
It's terrible.
It feels really
terrible.
Heavy now.
Yep, yep. It's hard to swipe. I can't type with one hand. And my cats really like chewing on it.
So, like, can you do the edgy swipes? It's not too bad. It's not too bad. Okay.
Nah.
All right. Mm. Okay, well, I think I'm good. can it display phrases like what's crackin' boo? No, Tom Haverford would never wear this.
No.
Ron Swanson would. Ron Swanson did. Remember when he got a phone? I think he wore it on his belt.
Mm-hmm.
So he could keep up with the girls. I think he got a phone.
Oh, I'm now. I have to say, even though Dad's not here, I want to demonstrate how he interpreted the challenge. See, I can't even get to the fucking pictures.
With what? Oh, on your goddamn phone?
With the stupid.
This is literally worse than the Holocaust. Okay, so
wait,
I'm
what's
swiping.
That now?
Excuse me? Face ID. It sees me. I'm clicking.
Yep, yep. Yeah, the photograph I've just sent you.
You sent me a moving photograph.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's no case on that phone. No, no.
Oh, yeah. Peanut butter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll be hornswoggled.
15 minutes.
You always leave live photo on?
Unlike Max, I'm not really taking pictures of my cat in my bathroom by my balls. So.
Well, what if your balls get in the picture?
Here's my cat. Whoops.
Oh, no, my balls.
I reversed it. No, it's a tit. What's happening?
Oh, no. Oh, no, I got underboob in my cat.
Oh, no, my nipples.
Oh, no, my nipples.
Ooh, Alexa. Play Patriot soundtrack.
Oh, God. Birds of Amsterdam.
Now we made it people's day.
That's the thing about afternoon spray. Let me walk you through our Donnelly nut spacing and crack system rim riding grip configuration. Using a field of half-C sprats and brass-fitted nickel slits, our bracketed caps and splay flex brace columns vent dampers to dampening hatch depths of half meter from the damper crown to the spur of plinth. How? Well, we bolster 12 husk nuts to each girdle jerry, while flex tandems press a task apparatus of 10 vertically composited patch hamplers, then pin, flim, fasten, pan traps at both maiden apexes of the gym joints.
Am I having a stroke? What's happening?
That's Leslie Claret. That's Mr. Claret's speech.
Oh.
The Donnelly nut spacing and crack system rim riding grip configuration. You're not up to that yet.
No, I'm not.
You're not up
I'm
to
not.
That yet?
No.
Oh,
no, no.
Shit, dog!
I was
the one with the girl's name, Leslie.
Well, I was catching up on Doctor Who.
Big step back for you, Steven. Oh, Doctor Who, am I ready to talk about this?
Yeah, I mean, we've had this in our back pocket. When Max isn't around, we'll talk about Doctor
Who.
I
feel so vulnerable. I don't know if I'm ready. I got a lot to say, Alex. Hmm. So you're caught up.
I am. I don't have that. I honestly don't have that much to say because, you know, it was real good. It was real good.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Well, you know what? Let's. I know people love when I ask questions. What's your history with Doctor Who?
I started live. Excuse me. I started watching Doctor Who when I was in about eighth grade, 1981 or two, and they would show it on our Tampa Bay area PBS station on Saturday nights. But it was. I mean, I had heard about it. I knew it was real weird. But they were showing Fourth Doctor episodes. At this point, of course, it's just a little bit after he'd left the role, but we didn't know that. We were seeing, you know, Doctors Who from a long time ago. But yeah, mm-hmm. It was all they ever showed was Fourth Doctor. And then by the time they were showing Fifth Doctor, I was moving on to something else in life. But that was my start, was like just showing up and like, what in the hell is this? This is really, really strange and zero budget. But it was so stylish and Tom Baker was so fun. And I got pretty into it, and I started drawing it on my folders, and I read many of the novelizations back when I used to read books in junior high, and got pretty into it. Didn't give it much of another thought for 20 years. I mean, kind of I thought about it, but like it wasn't until getting back into New Who that I really – I mean, I wasn't even aware of like Sylvester McCoy and all of those, or the guy from the guy from that movie, who's in the movie. I wasn't even aware of those doctors. You know who I mean? The guy from the movie with the guy from the Great Intelligence episode. What's that movie called? God damn it. What's that famous movie? With Nell and I.
Okay. All right.
Now, are you aware of the movie
no.
With Nell and I?
No.
W-I-T-H-N-A-I-L and I. Have you seen the Great Intelligence, the Snowman episode?
Oh, yes. That's when with the big crystal ball and the
yes.
big scary. Yeah.
Do me a favor. Go click on W-I-T-H-N-A-I-L and I. And then go click on images, and you'll see the dude.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
And the, let me get this right, seventh doctor.
Oh.
That's the guy who was in the movie only doctor.
The eighth boy.
Was he eighth or eighth and a half? Oh, by the way, did you hear that crackle just now?
Yeah, I did.
Did you hear it?
I did. I edited those.
Okay, you know why? You know why? Because my fucking phone was near the USB pre too.
Oh my God.
It's definitely a thing.
It's a thing.
Okay. All right. You want to just keep it near here and see if it causes any problems for the editor?
Are you – well
– because my big phone boy in the big boy otter case was right next to it because I wasn't thinking, and now I'm moving it away.
All right. I'm
just going to drop it. I'll just drop it. I don't care.
Well, what's fun is you can throw it across the room, and it won't – it'll just stick there. It's great.
What about your screen?
Well, it is the edge-to-edge protection.
The edge-to-edge protection.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that was my history. What is your history?
Doctor Who came on Netflix. I was my freshman year of college, and I...
Wait, go. I'm sorry. That's meaningless to me. What era of Doctor Who?
It was New Who, as you called it.
Nine or ten.
Ten. But
really? You started on 10? That's so cool.
Well, wait.
Is he your
no.
doctor?
No, actually, I take it back. I started on 11. Yeah, because it was I watched the 11th hour and I was like, this is quirky and fun and adorable. And then I went back and started with 9 and the very first episode with the like scary mannequins and like
the Autons. That's very scary.
No, it was bad. It was real. I hated it.
You like that CGI when Mickey goes into the garbage can? Pretty bad.
Oh, it And I don't know. It was that thing where it's like, okay, do I play Farmville or watch Doctor Who? And I don't know. When 10 happened, it just really, really stuck. And I don't know. It has all of the sappy, campy things I like. Like, what is it that Craig Ferguson said? Intellect and romance over cynicism or something, something. And it just has that, like, gooey, soft feeling, or at least it did. And then, you know, with the 11th Doctor, it got pretty dark. And I just really – the 11th Doctor, played by Matt Smith, is most definitely my Doctor.
Okay.
The companions, Rory and Amy, they're absolutely my favorite. And, yeah, I don't know.
check your text message. Okay. Were you aware of this connection from the past? You probably are.
No.
They used to be in a band together.
Oh, wait. Okay, that's Capaldi and...
Craig Ferguson.
No!
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, this one's really cute. Wait to see this.
Oh, look at the... Oh, my God, look at that baby.
I knew Capaldi from... First thing I remember seeing him was Lair of the White Worm.
Oh.
Look at these guys.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had big fuzzy hair.
Look at... You know, the eyebrows are still there.
Yep.
Oh,
the eyebrows. But yeah, I think you're getting at it. I mean, for sure. Peter Capaldi, Lair of the White Worm. And that's basically how we get to my thesis for what made that episode in particular, that terrible, corny episode, like why it lands so hard for people.
So and so we should clarify, we are talking about the 2017 Doctor Who Christmas special. Oh, titled Twice Upon a Time.
Yeah,
time.
Right.
And Steve, you know, Stephen Moffat was like blowing himself at that point. He was just so excited.
Very pleased with himself.
just so happy. Oh, this is a lovely. Is this Capaldi again?
Yeah, that's him in Lair of the White Worm.
Oh.
Circa maybe 87, 88.
Oh, look
at I saw that in the theater.
He's like a more handsome Harry Potter. Look at that.
But he was not the star of the movie. Mm. The star of the movie was a fellow. This is the first movie I ever saw this guy in.
Oh, that is Bridget Jones' Diary.
That's Bridget Jones' Diary when he was very, very young.
And then
how do you cheat on? You know what? I'm never going to understand that. He had that beautiful model girlfriend who likes spanking, and he cheated on her. I'll never understand that. I'll never understand men.
I've never seen that movie. It was rated R, and it wasn't.
It's really weird. Is it Ken Russell, I want to say? Oh, yeah, I think it's Ken Russell. It's very Ken Russell. It's very English. Well, here's the thing. We can't release this. There's something very – the thing that I wanted to get at is that the show is – especially in the Moffat era, is very corny. It's very self-consciously corny. It's self-consciously self-referential in a way that a couple seasons ago became pretty intolerable, right? I mean, you remember the spate, like where they went through during the Clara era. You go through that whole bit with Doctor Who, name of the Doctor, end of time of the Doctor, name of the time. And it's just like fucking, you have your head so far up your ass and like it gets super annoying, but like that's because he's a super fan, I think, right? And there's something about the very nature of this show that's got built-in nostalgia to it. There's something about – even if you watched one episode of this show, there's something very sentimental and nostalgic just on a very basic level about the show to begin with. Do you know what I mean? Don't you think?
Yeah. I direct people as a starter episode to Vincent and the Doctor, not the pedophile episode, but just – it's you don't need any context. You just need to know – that a Time Lord, I guess you need to know that a kind of sort of immortal alien travels all around space and time in a box with a friend visiting people in need of help. And it really sets up the show because there's a corny, stupid monster, but they also hang out with Vincent Van Gogh and they explore.
That is
trauma.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
But I think you could even point somebody to the first 15 minutes of 11th Hour to basically get New Who in particular.
Yeah, that's
which
what
is,
got me.
Well, and here's why, I think. I mean, because everybody's got to love Amelia Pond. She's this just really, really cute little Scottish girl. And there's a raggedy man in a box who lands in her yard. And he's obviously going through some kind of trauma, and she gives him fish fingers and custard. And what does he say? He says she's in a very unhappy situation. She has a crack in her wall. That's no good. And he says he's got to go, but he'll come back in 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And when he comes back, it's been 15 years or something like that.
Yep.
And she is now, she's like a crazy person. She's been getting, she's been had therapy for her life because of the Raggedy Man. She's making dolls of this person. Like, now, I think right there, you can kind of capture that. We're like, we all know that experience of having this, you know, flashbulb moment as a child that stays with you through life. Well, you can see that both from the POV of the doctor and of Amy, right? I mean, their experience. And when she goes, like, it was not 5 minutes. It's been, whatever, 15 years. And he's like, oh, right, because of the time thing. And it's one reason stuff like, you know, what, fucking Interstellar, like all that kind of stuff hits us in the feels, is because once you have gotten beyond being even just a teenager, your understanding of time, what time feels like, what time does, like, you will increasingly, as you get older, and sorry, this is corny and a dad thing, but even before kids, before marriage, before anything, before you love somebody, as you get older and older, even in fucking high school, you're going to go, I can't believe you signed my yearbook a year ago. How is that a year ago? I can't believe it's already been a year. And that's a theme that will play out in your life over and over. I almost cried the other day because I realized how long it's been since this one notes document, since I've opened it. I realized it's been over a year since I opened a notes document of something with my daughter that I used to do like 3 times a week. And I was like, how is that 14 months? That's so fucked up. So, I guess what I'm saying is, like, even if you don't get into all of the alien stuff and all the science fiction stuff, I mean, there's a very sentimental story that really lands with people, don't you think?
I mean, I guess I've never thought about it in, like, obviously time and the passage of time is a theme. Like, even at the start of New Who, he's a couple thousand years old, and then he's tens of thousand years old, and then he's hundreds of thousands of years old. And
I think he's in the hundreds at the beginning. It's during 11, and it's during 11 that he puts on a lot of years. And then depending on how you calculate it, after the amazing episode in the castle,
that, oh my God,
he's got a lot of miles on those tires.
It just feels like it's kind of like, for me, it's less of time and more of experience. Like, all of these horrific things, like, they keep saying, like, he's a doctor of war, he's a doctor of war. And yet there's this underlying hope and optimism, as well as pacifism. Like, this is kind of like a Batman thing too, but just the idea that he never wants to use a gun, and he, mm-hmm. yes, he's killed thousands, perhaps millions of people. And it's just, if you live that long, that is collateral damage. And I don't know. And the ability, I hate how I sometimes go on Tumblr and just look at Doctor Who quotes and GIFs and then make myself happy and then sad and then happy and sad again. And the whole, with the 11th Doctor, of like, we're all just stories in the end. And I'm not a big fan of the big episodes where they're like two-parters and the world is going to end and there's a nuclear weapon and aliens are taking over. It's the small ones like Vincent and the Doctor, or, yeah, you know, yeah, the Girl Who Waited. And also, I think with the 11th Doctor, they were able to have those big story arcs but still keep the small stories of, like, mm-hmm. His wife, River Song, has been left in jail, and, you know, Amy and Rory are separated, and they still have these really humane moments.
Or you go back to, like, I don't remember this exactly right, but if memory serves, we just watched Silence in the Library on Christmas Day.
Oh, man.
And it's like, you know, I'm trying to say to my kid, well, she knows, she's forgotten a lot about how much she used to like Doctor Who, so she's kind of re-remembering it. But, like, I was like, that's that TARDIS diary that you had. So I'm actually sitting there feeling a little teary about, like, a toy that she had when she was, like, 5 that she doesn't remember. Like, how meta is that? She doesn't remember her TARDIS diary she got for Christmas.
Oh, my God.
And, but that's River, in our time, in our understanding of it, because of the way their weird time streams work, she's got her TARDIS diary, so she can keep track of, like, what's actually happened already and what hasn't happened yet and all that kind of stuff. But we meet River Song on the day she dies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what we're reading as the Doctor meets this woman for the first time is actually the last time that she sees him.
Yeah.
Which gets more poignant over time, and you're like, holy fucking shit, that you really think about that. I don't know, man, that works for me. That's some of those two-parters really work. That one in particular. Or, I mean, go look at, you know, Smith and Jones. Look at the one where they have to erase Ten's memory and he becomes the teacher at the school, and then he meets the lady from Spaced. And then, of course, she comes up later in the 10th Doctor's last episode. And it's just – they're unabashed about bringing these themes back. But there's so much to this. And, like, one old man angle is just this whole idea that there's the compression of time. There's lost time. There's, like, you know – my mom just sent me a picture of herself the other day. It's like, wow, my mom's really old. And it's very, very strange. It's a very – that's a very strange thing to see, you know? But, like, when he – and he is a little bit weird and a little bit Aspie in some ways. You know, that's he's an alien. He's, like – he doesn't think or feel the way we think and feel. He'd probably lose his mind if he did. But you – now let's put a little more on to this. Like, you bring in – Filch as the first Doctor, who I think did a really good job.
I think this is going to be our moment where we're going to start talking about spoilers. I mean, that's not a if you don't know what that is, whatever.
So you got the basically sentimental, all the feels stuff of Doctor Who to begin with. Even if you just watch one episode, you know. You could just go and watch the episode everybody suggests, which is one of the great episodes, which is Blink, which has hardly any Doctor in it at all. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, when at the end of that episode, when they show the sign at the DVD store, and you're like, oh my God, it just hits you. I mean, that's how this show works, is that they get you like that, and that's the basis of one episode of one of the most Doctor light episodes of all time has that feeling to it. But in the case of this one. There's so many fucking levels to this. You bring in the first Doctor, who, like Capaldi's Doctor, is refusing to regenerate. He does not want to regenerate. And in the case of Capaldi, I mean, you tell me, my feeling is it's not suicide exactly, but he knows he could. I guess somehow they tricked the system and now he's got more regenerations. I don't exactly understand it. But
he has like 13 more or something. Yeah,
he could choose... He could allow himself to regenerate like a gentleman, but he's thinking more morbid thoughts. He's thinking, maybe I'm done with this. Maybe I just don't want to do this anymore, right? Is that your sense of it?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like with every regeneration, there's resistance in the whole, you know, with Tennant. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
But this is like...
This is a little different.
Basically, his last few companions, they all died because of him. A spaceship is essentially, like, thousands of people are dying because he failed. And I don't know. It's just, it seems like there's this exhaustion. And also, his best friend has betrayed him again. And I actually didn't, this didn't even occur
the
to
master,
me until
the... The who? Who best friend?
Missy, mistress.
Okay.
Yeah. And she says like, no, I'm not going to stand beside you. And then, I just really love how they ended the whole, mistress/master arc.
God, that was rough. That episode.
Oof. Yeah. But he doesn't know. He thinks he failed his oldest friend in the universe. And I was just like, oh God.
who got killed by herself. Yeah, who's a man that looks like Tom York from Radiohead. Who's the master, and she's the master, but she's the mistress. She's a time lady, a time mistress. Okay. Yeah, it's a great show, Merlin. I got to check this out. So what do? They bring back the first Doctor. And, of course, you know, even if you've never seen an episode, like, you know that face, you know that hat, you know those black and white things. And they certainly play this up in Day of the Doctor, where this episode opens in the exact same junkyard where his TARDIS originally was, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, so let's get to the next level of poignancy, which is, like, oh, my God. This is Stephen Moffat's last episode, the king of the feels. And for his last episode, he is choosing to bring back the first Doctor from probably even before his youth, certainly. But bring that back. But it's two Doctors now that don't want to go. And they kind of end up egging each other on to go through with it. So if one had decided not to regenerate, we wouldn't have had this show. And if Capaldi hadn't decided to regenerate, we wouldn't have the new Doctor. And we're not even getting to the new Doctor yet.
Oh,
at this point,
no.
All I'm saying is that if you just fucking watch this, not knowing anything about this show, it might be a little confusing, but kind of poignant. If you've watched this show a lot, there's a lot to process when you're watching this that has very much to do with the viewer and the viewer's experience and the viewer's fandom and the viewer's nostalgia and the meta nostalgia of being able to enjoy this on several levels that end up becoming really strangely, embarrassingly poignant. It's the end. It's the end of Capaldi. It's the end of Moffat. It's the return of the First Doctor. It's the basic motherfucking theme of the entire series, is the way that time operates and fucks with our heads and our lives.
I mean, and the whole time, I give Moffat a lot of shit and a lot of, you know.
He deserves a lot of shit. He's really, he's really pleased with himself.
It's so impressive. He's very bendy. He can suck that dick all day long.
His farts smell like time travel.
But like the whole time, I'm wondering, you know, as he's writing this, of does he actually want to go? Does he actually want to leave? And it's I think eventually, you know, that that last speech that a lot of that Capaldi gives, that I'm sure, you know, people
so
roll
corny,
their eyes,
so but, fucking good. So good.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sobbing for a half an hour afterwards,
because he's in that kind of robot. He's partly going through that, like, you know, at every point in the regeneration, as it begins, as it happens, and as it goes through, you go through this, like, slight computer malfunction period, and he seems to be spitting out, like, some of his best and weirdest stuff. He's recapitulating stuff we've heard in Day of the Doctor, Never Cowardly or Cruel. We're hearing all that stuff coming back. This random line about not eating pears, and, like, it's just, yeah, I was just sitting there sobbing.
The line that always gets me is always try to be nice and never fail to be kind, which is
that's really, really good advice for life. But you can feel at that point, you know, that's such an interesting point, especially I have to say Eccleston. He went out in such a classy way. His I love it. But it's after the pressure's off and you're like, well, this is happening. Mm-hmm. And then, like, there's a certain kind of, like, if not calmness, a certain kind of repose and acceptance. And, like, you're not fighting it anymore. And that's, like, when a lot of these little gems come out.
And, like you said, we haven't even got to the part where the new doctor is a woman. And they I actually really liked how in this most recent season they sort of hint that the doctor has probably been female before, and you know, we just haven't seen that. And it felt like they were trying to downplay, like, oh, this isn't going to be a huge monumental thing for the doctor himself, despite it being a huge, it shouldn't be a huge thing in media. Jesus Christ, you're ruining my childhood. It's been like 5 years that the show's been on. Everyone calm down.
You probably can't possibly be as much of a fan of Day of the Doctor as I am, but you're familiar with it, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's one of my favorite episodes, or one of my favorite.
It's my all time favorite episode, you've gotten through all this stuff, and they've all the TARDIS has come. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Like, no sir, all 13. You're like, oh god.
And you see the eyebrows.
And then, you know, like, where has Gallifrey gone? And then they cut to the tea, like the little cup of tea. And then you have the denouement where they're all going to leave. And then it's Matt Smith by himself. And the Fourth Doctor shows up and gives that great speech. And he's like, you know, maybe you're me. Maybe I was you. Maybe who knows? And like, to me, that's like the whole, I'm too vulnerable today. That's the whole thrust of the show right there, is like, this is all, you know, this is what it means to be, if not a Time Lord, to be a human, is like you re-experience these parts of yourself over and over through these different lenses as time passes. And you don't have any control of that. You don't get to decide what has an impact on you. Like you just keep floating through this and going, oh, this is that thing again. But like the moment when, like, to me, that really unlocks something in my brain about the whole show, when it's like, when, you know, when you really accept it, because they could show up anywhere. The whole idea of him going, like, not fully saying what we all know, which is that's totally the Fourth Doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is like, maybe you're me, maybe I'm you. Who knows? Can't air this. We can't put this up. This is terrible. I can't even think about Max listening to this. He is forbidden from listening to this.
He's not going to. I actually remember we were watching. I think it was the 11th Doctor's regenerate. Oh yeah, I think it might have been Day of the
Doctor. Santa Village cyber. Attack.
Yeah. Oh God. The Christmas Village. My God.
Oh, God. That was such a weird episode. But
I loved it.
When he's old. When he's so old. Oh.
Mm. Well, and that's the other thing too is people. I don't know how many like Americans know this, but in Britain, it's a big thing that families, you know, gather around, and that's like their TV day, which is just really sweet and nice. And you're wearing your paper hats, and you're watching a Doctor Who or Downton Abbey.
Got your little poppers.
Yeah. And there's it. Doctor Who feels like Christmas to me, honestly. The whole thing. It just
me too.
Every year it's, I start getting like an itch of like, okay, I want to remember my family. And this is also one of those shows that's kind of like, you know, like a band that I grew up with, where it's like, oh yeah, this episode is the first episode I saw. Wow, I'm fine. this is never coming out.
But it's like seeing a band, but it's also like a band where at any point they could turn into the band before they were a band and before you. Mm-hmm. And you would go, holy shit, what the fuck? Like you might meet them when they're 8 years old before they're in the band. It's very upsetting, but that's kind of, that's how that works. I agree with you though. I said this to Dan, I'm back to work in this discussion a week or two ago about like, that's the thing is like, this show is very Christmassy to me. Mm-hmm. And not least because I'm sitting in front of a tree full of ornaments, some of which we bought 2 days ago and some of which precede my life, some of which my parents, all of our Christmas stuff got stolen when I was about two or three.
Oh, God.
And so my mom and my grandma hunkered down and made us an entire new set of Christmas ornaments from scratch out of like those little plaster things. So like,
oh my
God. There's a little dog in a stocking with a sprinkle, a little like, you know, glitter on it. It's still my favorite ornament from like as long as I can remember. And that's there on the tree next to the like Daryl from The Walking Dead we bought last year. Like that's all on the same tree. That one tree has all of those little weird memories. That's how this show makes me feel. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. It's a very Christmassy show.
Mm. What a good episode.
We can't come back from this. This is it. This is
the top of
this is not even the end. Oh, this show can't come out.
On the top of my tree, there's a there's actually a weeping angel, and there's little teeth marks from my kitten's first Christmas, and I just remember getting that from Maddie because we didn't. It was this whole thing where I was, you know, the Catholic dilemma of like I don't know how I feel about Christmas right now, and like, all right, well there's just so many stupid layers of my own life that go along
exactly.
with each episode.
Exactly.
Of like, this
yes.
is the episode I saw the first time I got out of the hospital. This is the episode that I showed Maddie for the first time. This is the episode that I saw when I was starting my first job. And it's all very silly, but I think it's maybe because I think you talked about this or some. I don't know how true it is, but it's like every time you revisit a memory, it gets sort of warped every time. Whereas, yeah. you know, songs I revisit constantly and my favorite albums I revisit constantly. Whereas, you know, Doctor Who's kind of a Christmassy every year type of thing. And it's sort of the same thing with Christmas movies. So it's like the memory is kind of triggered less often. So it feels more pure and kind of more crisp in my mind, I guess.
No, I absolutely know what you mean. Sometimes it becomes a certain kind of emotional stew where like there's these different elements that when combined cause a certain kind of reaction that you don't get in your day to day. That's got to be a big part of it.
I'm not a crier except for really TV and movie. Like
what if you saw somebody who saved a bunch of people from the Holocaust and they all stood up?
Yeah. Oh my God. No.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No. God damn it. Oh God.
Max is going to take his name off this show.
Yep. We had a good
run. So,
talk about iPhone cases.
He's standing in the goddamn TARDIS. His arms and his head explode. Shit gets crazy, and what comes out on the other side? Fucking a yes. Mm-hmm. It's time for a lady doctor. I cannot wait. She looks so cool. She's so great on Broadchurch, and I can't wait. I'm so excited for her.
I'm so excited for how angry people are going to be. Like, oh, God,
well,
bring...
You know, that they were never really a fan. If you can't get with this, then you're a fan of a different show.
But...
the whole nature of this show. You know what? I'll buy it for Ghostbusters. Fine. You know, go nofap it into a sock. But in this case, like, the whole nature of this show is change and adaptation and new things and weirdness. And, like, I don't know. I mean... Who knows? Maybe at some point the doctor comes back as two doctors. Like, we don't know. Like, who knows?
Cool.
It's science fiction, guy. Like, deal.
But, okay.
It's so implausible to you that through 13, 14 characters over 53 years, there's no chance it could ever come out as a woman? Because why? Show me in the book. Show me in the book where it says it can't be a girl. You fuck.
But,
you never
okay.
liked this show. You never liked this show. You like the smell of your Doctor Who farts. You did not like this show. You liked the show that was in your head, not the show that was on the screen. I'd love to ruin your childhood. I'd be honored to ruin your childhood, you piece of shit.
But that's the thing. I you know, I don't want to step on your sous vide, but if this show even... It has changed people's lives. That is stupid and silly, yes, but it's the same way that Harry Potter changed people. You know, go read another book, blah blah blah. But like, think about, like, I just think about a little kid and being and like, oh yeah, I have a woman as a hero. That is new, and that is why. I mean, oh God, I care so little about people's opinions about Star Wars at this point. But that's why, you know, those things break me, because. I didn't expect that. I was trained not to expect that. I was trained that Leia was going to always be in a bikini, and now she's a fucking general, and you know what? I don't care if she Mary Poppins back
she's
into the
ship. She's not just a general. She's a fucking wizard.
Yeah.
I finally talked to Syracuse about the movie last night, and I was like, and no spoilers for the show, but like, I was like, fucking A, yes. Have the Force go fucking crazy. Yeah. I love it. I like that the Force is kind of just magic now, and I am so into it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the idea you can get really good at the Force and do magic. You're not just, it's not just sleight of hand. It's not coin and card tricks. You're doing all kinds of crazy shit. You're shooting your slide projector from another goddamn galaxy, and I'm so into it.
And that's not how it works. Oh, you can be a fucking astral blue ghost, but you...
I just learned last night about the EU idea that Rey could be a clone of Luke's hand. Have you ever heard that before?
No, but I
just heard this last night for the first time, and I almost had a stroke.
Oh, God.
And apparently it's happened more than once. Oh, no, obviously she's a clone of his hand.
And
we will call her Bacta.
I finally, like, something...
Back to work. That's stupid.
Congratulations on trending.
Mm. Oh, thank you. Thank you, buddy. Hockey player or rapist. I'm looking very much forward to this. Okay, we should wrap it up soon. We still got to do an after show, don't we? Listen, before I go, I just want to say you are fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And you know what? So was I. That is a good way to regenerate. That's a good way to sign off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fucking! Did you ever watch the Leftovers? Did you ever watch that?
No. I
He's very good. He's very good on the Leftovers.
Yeah, I've got the old Rectifs episode. I'm one of those people who goes back later and listens to.
I can't listen to any episodes until I.
I'm not Syracuse.
That's not you. If I was impersonating you, it would be totally different. You want me to impersonate you?
Yes, please.
No, I'm not gonna do it. No way. I have too much respect for you. You're absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And you know what? So was I. Yeah, so I'm on the page. I'm on the internet science page for Last Words in Doctor Who Media.
Oh, my God.
I'll always remember when the doctor was me. So good.
The doctor was me. Oh, my God.
I know. That's really good. All right.
What a great episode.
Yay. How can we put this out so that Max will never hear it?
He's busy. He's not going to listen. He's.
Okay. I got it. Mm-hmm. We just need everybody on the internet to talk about how much they enjoyed the episode where we complimented Max for an hour. How do we? Can we do that?
Yeah.
It's like when they put the big spike things around nuclear waste, and they're like, oh, nothing honorable happens here.
Nope,
like,
no,
we have to do something to let people know, walk away.
You know what, Louis, we can do it for real. Max is a lovely boss, and he is one of those people who always wants to help, and always, like, he's usually one of the first people where it seems like I'm sad or something bad has happened, which, you know, when you have a family that is just riddled with tons of mental illness, bad things happen all the time. He's like, what can I do? What can I help? And normally I'm like, nothing. People have to be sad and people are dying. But it's okay. Thank you. And he's like, do you want a couch? Can I give you a couch? Is everything okay? And I don't think I've ever met anybody who's trying so hard to better themselves every day and take care of the people he cares about.
I don't think I've ever met anybody who's quite so much like the doctor in many ways.
Oh!
He has a very spiky exterior. He's a little bit of an alien, and he doesn't want you to know how deeply he feels things inside. And then he flips his scarf and says, "We're made of stars." Womp wheel. Max's regeneration would be him just playing with his phone.
I did it.